right. Good afternoon, guys. Hey, had a chance to go back and look at that tape this morning, and definitely a tough loss on the road. Like the fight that our guys showed, getting back in that ball game after getting off to a slow start, battling, and putting ourselves in a position where we had a chance at the end, but just couldn't get it done. And the good news for us, we didn't lose anyone to any significant injuries. Ron Robson banged up his elbow a little bit. Turns out that Aaron Henderson should be fine. There was nothing serious there. Percy just had some cramps, and he should be fine. So other than that, we came out pretty good health-wise. We just didn't play well enough on the road and clean enough as a team to get a road win. So we have to go back and go through the tape with our players and talk through some of those situations and try to get better. We have to get better for our next ball game.
How do you rectify the penalty issues? It's hard to explain them yesterday, but now going forward, how do you work around those?
Well, you keep harping on the importance of, you know, not doing things that can be set, that are self-inflicted, and we've done a pretty good job week before, and we got to get back to that this next week, and we'll harp on it again this week in practice, and we'll have to do better in that area.
Les, how tough is this, not necessarily from game to game, knowing how these officials are going to call the game, though? Because the ordinary guys have been around for a while. You probably have an idea of what they're going to call and not call. How difficult is this with all new guys and you don't know what the parameters necessarily are?
Well, it's a – I mean, there could be wide-ranging answers to that one. We have to make sure that we're doing the things that are necessary to play within the rules. I mean, we have officials at our practice. We go through with our players, you know, what holding is, what a personal foul, what constitutes a personal foul, what's offsides, what's encroachment. You know, we go through all those things. So it's up to us, too, when we get in game situations to do the right things. And there were times yesterday where we didn't, and it cost us.
And explain to you on the foul that Brinkley drew. I think they allowed the Colts to replay first down, and I think it should have gone to second down. Did you ever get an explanation on what happened?
Yeah, right? I know exactly what you're talking about, but no, did not.
Do you send that into the league? Like,
mm-hmm. We will. Yeah.
How big are those tapes right now that you send into the league as far as
take a look at this, take a look at that? I mean, are they? Is it bigger than usual because these guys are new?
No, they still have the same rules in place as far as what numbers we can send as they did with the previous officials.
When you look back at Jared's personal foul, did it look like one to you, and what will you tell him?
I mean, great hustle on his part. I mean, you know, he's running all day trying to catch up to that quarterback. Just got to have a little awareness where you are on the field. It looks like he kind of lost, you know, where he was on the field. And like the effort, like what he was trying to get accomplished, but just have a little awareness of where you are on the field and, you know, probably have to pull up in that situation.
With how much guys are coached to play hard, but the danger of getting penalties like that, I mean, is there a way that you found to strike that balance when you coach these guys?
Well, you're right, Dave. We coach them to play hard, and what Jared was doing on that particular play is exactly what you want to see from an effort standpoint. But there is a balance. You want to play smart. I mean, you have to have a little recognition in certain situations and adhere to, you know, when you're possibly crossing that line. And that's where you have to play smart.
So when you drop the defense at the Reggie Wayne's 30-yard touchdown, when you drop that two-deep defense and the linebackers deep and everything, how is it supposed to work on paper?
Well, what should happen is our Mike linebacker should be in the middle of the field contesting that play and making it a difficult completion, if it's going to be a completion for that wide receiver or tight end, whoever that is, the quarterback is throwing to. But that's the way it's designed, for the middle linebacker and our safeties to converge and be factors as well.
So a lot of times you see like a Reggie Wayne against a linebacker, it almost like it's like a linebacker is being asked to do maybe something physically that you can't do, you know, covering a receiver 30 yards downfield. I mean, just how do you – are the safety supposed to help him more, or how does it work?
You should get some safety help depending on what happens with the rest of the routes. But you do it because you've done it enough to where you know that the linebacker can make the play along with safety help. And we got neither in that instance. And it's designed where the linebacker will, you know, get late help from the safety.
You got one sack out of the defensive line again. But pressure at times again. Mm-hmm. Are they getting out of their lane zone creating opportunities for the quarterback to get upfield?
You know, one of the good things about yesterday, we were constantly, you know, in the backfield with our D-line, whether it was Brian or Jared or Everson. They did a great job of flushing the quarterback out of the pocket a number of times. And, of course, he made some plays on the run, which hurt us. But, you know, we got to do a little bit better job of being aware of where the next guy is. But the things that we were trying to get accomplished, for the most part, we got him done. We just couldn't always get him down. I mean, the time that Brian had him in the end zone, which could have been a possible safety, you have to give their quarterback some credit. He did a good job. I mean, we had some opportunities to get him on the ground, and we couldn't.
Did he maybe surprise you with his awareness back there?
I don't know if I'd say surprised to a degree. I mean, being a rookie, he showed a lot of poise and good instincts, being able to feel the pressure. I mean, there were a couple of times I didn't think he saw our guys coming, and he'd move a little bit. He did a good job.
On the other side of the ball, when you look at some of the sacks that Ponder took, is he holding the ball too long? Are the receivers just not getting open, or what's going on there?
I think on one occasion, it was definitely we didn't have anyone for him to get the ball to, and we just got to handle that a little bit different. For the most part, he's doing the right things with the ball. We had some breakdowns in protection. We had a couple times where we didn't have anyone open, and he was stuck with the ball. For the most part, he made good decisions with the ball. You hate to see the sack cause fumble. You know, you like to do a little bit better job in that situation. You don't want to turn the ball over. You know, find a way to get it out of my hands in that instance. But for the most part, he's done a good job back there.
Jared came out for, I think, two plays after the foul. Was that to calm him down just because he does not come out ordinarily, or was that because he was upset, or did you just see a chance to make a change there?
Well, we're trying to take some reps off of him, and we were doing it there as well. We were doing the same thing with Kevin, trying to rotate some different guys in. It was just part of the rotation.
It's a couple games in a row now. The offense gets off to a slow start. Does that concern you, and how do you rectify or avoid digging yourself a hole early in the first half?
It is something we're going to talk about. You know, you like the fact that we're finding our groove as the game goes on, but we like to get started early, and we talked about that during the week on the road. You really don't want to get the home crowd involved, especially when it's their home opener. And, you know, we're moving the ball on offense in the first half, but we weren't finishing with touchdowns. And those field goals, if they were touchdowns, you know, maybe the game is a little bit different early on. But it's something we got to go back and keep looking at this week. We're going to be playing at home. We want to get off to a fast start on offense and defense, along with special teams, and have our fans in the game early. So we'd like to get off to a fast start.
Are there things that, Les, that can be done to get the ball downfield? I mean, right now it just seems like it's so tough as far as Christian and the receivers until Jerome comes back. Are there things that you can do short term to try and get a vertical game going at least?
Well, we think that Devin and Michael can make some plays for us downfield. We think Stephen Burton has the capability of doing that as well. So, you know, we're going to continue to take some shots. We took a shot yesterday with Michael. We expect to do it again in this ball game against San Francisco. And we think those guys can come up with some plays for us down the field. Obviously, Percy is still a big play guy for us. We get the ball to him in different ways. But other receivers, we still have confidence that they can make some plays down the field.
Considering the success that Ponder's had at the end of these games moving the ball, is there a consideration to do a little bit more hurry-up offense even when it's not necessarily needed?
You know, we'll look at it. We do have some no-huddle in our offense. But, you know, we'll take a look at what we're doing and how we're doing it and what's going to give us the best chance to succeed this next weekend. But we're going to explore all avenues. We're going to get off to a faster start for sure.
Is John Carlson still a little behind everybody else trying to get up to the swing of things?
I don't think so. I think physically he's fine now. He has a pretty good understanding of what we're asking him to do on offense. So, no, I don't, his absence as far as production, I don't think it has anything to do with, you know, not being up to speed. He's pretty much where we need him to be right now. It's just a matter of, you know, finding an opportunity for him. We tried some things and just didn't work out for him yesterday, but we're looking for him, and we do expect him to be a contributor as we go forward.
Is this about the number of snaps you expected for him, considering all the talk of the two tight end offense?
Well, we do want to expand it as we go. He got more snaps in this ball game than he did in the first ball game, and we'll probably do the same next week, just try to continue to increase. But we do want to make him a little bit more of a focal point. We had some things that took him away that we had for him, but we'll keep exploring. We think he has the potential to really be an explosive player for us in our offense.
When do you have to make a roster move when Jerome comes back on that Monday? Do you get a little leeway? Or?
No, once we activate him, we'll have to, in that 24-hour, 48-hour span, we'll have to let someone go once we decide it.
Activate him for that Monday practice?
In order to have that Wednesday practice, yeah.
Is there just you could take a receiver off the roster, or are you looking at other positions, or what do you do there?
Yeah, we'll decide or talk about it a little bit later on. Yeah.
The last completion to Wayne, the 20-yarder that put them down at the 40. What's the coverage there, and was there too much of a cushion there? I think Josh was on that side.
Yeah, we ran a zone pressure, and we were in a something like a 3-deep behind the zone pressure, and I'd like for Josh to push it a little bit more. We think that'll help him, but the pressure is what you count on, and we didn't get enough pressure. They recognized it. They did a good job of blocking the pressure, so he's under the gun a little bit in that situation. And you're calling it to get pressure on the quarterback. We didn't get good pressure.
Is there anything overall about the defense that might have concerned you the most from Sunday?
We'd like to be better in 2 minutes. I mean, we're not doing very well right now in 2 minutes, the 2 minutes before the half, the 2 minutes at the end of the game. I mean, that's glaring. So we gotta do better. The way our team is built, we're going to play a lot of close games. We've talked about that all along with our guys, and we have to play good two-minute offense, good two-minute defense, good red zone defense, and good red zone offense. So 2 minutes, yeah, we've got to do better in that area.
Did you see the end of the Giants game, and what's the etiquette on kneel downs and one team going all out, another team just kneeling down?
I didn't see the end of that game.
The Buccaneers, blew through the line, knocked Eli over, and Coughlin was upset with Shiano. And what would be the etiquette on if you're playing defense and it's a kneel down situation?
For us, is there an etiquette? I don't know if there is an etiquette. I don't know if there is. I've never, we know what we would do, but I never sit and told our guys, hey, if they take a kneel down or we take a kneel down, this is what the expectations are. I think we've ever really went into detail about what should happen when that play happens.
At the end of the first half, what went into the decision not to have Percy returning that kick and having Sherrills bring it out from 9 deep?
I wanted Percy to be fresh for our 2-minute drill, and told Mike Prefer that. I want him to be ready for our 2-minute and let Marcus take it, and that was it. As far as bringing it out, we give him some parameters, all the returners, about what the depth is that they can bring it out and what the parameters are. And Marcus made a decision. We support that decision. We got it back to, I think, the 16 as opposed to starting from the 20. And that was the reason why Percy wasn't back there.
With everything that Percy gives you now this year, the first two games, would there be consideration to give him some time off during the week just to let him recuperate a little bit better there?
Well, we do have to be conscious of how much we're using him and what we're doing with him as we go through a week of practice and as we get further into the season. But, we're always talking to him. We're talking to Adrian, other guys who get utilized quite a bit in ball games as to where they are health-wise and making sure that when we line up on Sundays, they're ready to go. So we'll always be in communication with Percy about his health and where he is and what we need to do that week for him to be ready to play on Sunday.
At this point, though, no concern with him?
Nope, not to this point. Other than, the way he plays, you always have to be conscious of his numbers, the number of hits he takes. He's not a big guy in stature, but he plays big. So we're always aware of the number of hits he's taking and the number of touches he's getting in a ball game, whether it be kickoff or wide receiver, running back. So
Adrian kind of came back to earth the second game. I mean, was he feeling okay yesterday, or was it just opportunities not there?
He's feeling pretty good. I mean, we started off running the ball well early in the game. We were getting 5-6 yards a clip, but there was nothing to do with him. He was he felt good. We just couldn't stay with the run game because of where we were in the second half of the game. But he did well in the time that he was out there.
I think Percy and Adrian joke around that maybe they should always do the 2-minute drill because they just really seem to get into a rhythm that way. How can you get that sense of urgency? What can you do to get an early start to kind of equal what they're doing in the 2-minute drill? Because they seem to be rolling in that.
Yeah, we've done a good job these first 2 weeks. Although the first half, I think we had it with a minute – 41 maybe, and we ended up going three and out. And we had an opportunity, and we missed that seven route. But our two-minute offense has been good for us. But we got to look at what we're doing as a whole on offense and just see what we need to do to get off to a faster start. It would really help us, especially, as I mentioned earlier, this week at home, to get off to a faster start. So we'll look at everything we're doing and just try to come up with a good plan that will help us to get off to a faster start.
Time for two more.
When you look at what Harvin's doing right now, how hard is it to limit those snaps for him and those touches he's getting?
Man, he's off to a great start for us. Ain't no question about it. And it's working, you know, just like we wanted it to when we sat down this offseason and talked about being able to utilize his strengths. And it is tough to take him off the field, but we have to be smart. It's a long, long season. He is a primary weapon for us on offense. That's obvious to opposing defenses. But we don't want to overextend him. But at the same time, we have to utilize his talents. And we're trying to be judicious in doing that. But he's such a gifted guy. As you mentioned, Brian, it's hard to have him sitting over there for any length of time. So just have to be smart as we go along. To some degree, you do. He's one of those guys who wants to be out there. You know, he wants to return every kick. He wants to catch every ball. He wants to get the handoffs. But, you know, we're the ones that have to be smart about how we use him and know that we need him not only for this game but many games. So it's a fine line. He's so valuable to us. But we also know the way he plays, he's going to have some collisions on a regular basis. So it's a fine line trying to have that balance. So, all right.